An important aspect of practice and treatment is anatomy. Quote, "Anatomy, when conceived of spiritually, is mental self-knowledge and consists in the dissection of thoughts to discover their quality, quantity, and origin." Close quote. Quote, "The Christian Scientist, through understanding mental anatomy, discerns and deals with the real cause of disease." Close quote. True diagnosis is always seeing things as they really are. True diagnosis discovers the facts of the case and thus makes it possible to correct the situation. Now, just who is the diagnostician? It would have to be divine intelligence, which the textbook says is omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. This divine intelligence is yours, and you express it to the fullest. Knowing this, you know what to do and how to do it, and there is nothing hidden from you. Say so, and every case ceases to be an enigma to you. In treating, we often have to resort to arguments. They are necessary. The purpose of argument is to bring you to the final, complete conviction that spirit is supreme and all. These arguments have nothing to do with the patient. You cannot personalize an argument. There is nothing out there. You are dealing only with the suggestions in your own mental realm. You are taking these suggestions back to God and seeing everything as mind appearing. Quote, "Remember that the letter and mental argument are only human auxiliaries to aid in bringing thought into accord with the spirit of truth and love, which heals the sick and the sinner." Close quote. The argument is really the tuning up process, as it were. You will have to continue the argument in practice until you can cure without it. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "You continue the mental argument in the practice of Christian healing until you can cure without it instantaneously and through spirit alone." Close quote. Your arguments, as long as you need to use them, must be logical, exact, and accurate. Eventually, you can and you must adopt the Christly method in treatment, namely, realization. Jesus certainly told you that all the things he did, you could do. And Mrs. Eddy said she did not ask you to do one impossible thing. You are capable of great works. Let me call to your attention a wonderful statement from Rudimental Divine Science. Quote, "When treating a patient, it is not science to treat every organ in the body. To aver that harmony is the real and discord is the unreal, and then give special attention to what, according to their own belief, is disease, is scientific. And if the healer realizes the truth, it will free his patient." Close quote. You might be tempted to deal with a person and to think he had a separate mind. Then you would have to have his consent. When you see the error is never person or thing, but only a hypnotic suggestion, you never need to gain consent. Quote, "The Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things." Close quote. This is the gospel of truth. Then, do you have to get consent to be godlike? You are godlike. You cannot help it. Just insist on seeing good everywhere, and it will prove rewarding. This is practicing Christian Science, and this is doing what Jesus did and commanded us to do. If man could ever be sick, then he was never well. But man is well, because the textbook tells us, quote, "Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness, nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin." Close quote. There is no unreal man. You are the real man, and you are well, and you know it. Stay with your convictions, your understanding. You must understand that Christian Science results spontaneously in the elimination of every mistake or error. The scriptures say many times, "Magnify the Lord." How much time do we spend magnifying error? We talk for or against error, but we keep our interest in error. Sometimes we verbally declare the truth and at the same time keep a steady gaze on the claim. Oh, we must watch. We must keep our eye single. Then our whole experience is one of light. Sickness is a false sense. Thus, wholly mental. A false sense is a lie. Thus, sickness is a lie. There is nothing to do about a lie except reverse it. You have truth. You have harmony, and harmony is health. A lie demonstrates nothing except its own destruction. Quote, "It is no more Christianly scientific to see disease than it is to experience it. If you would destroy the sense of disease, you should not build it up by wishing to see the forms it assumes or by employing a single material application for its relief." Close quote. Someone in class said, "Thinking about is what throws you out." You really never think about anything. You do not think about truth. Truth is your thinking. To think about it would make it an object outside your consciousness. You cannot think about 2 plus 2 being 4. You think 2 plus 2 are 4. You often hear it said that Mr. So-and-so thinks a certain way. You have to be careful what you say, because what you say is what you think. It takes alertness and courage to think. Courage is seeing through to completion. It is seeing things well. A man of courage sees the unreality of disease. No case can ever be correctly handled until it is seen as purely hypnotic suggestion. Every case is an argument that there is something wrong. If there could be something wrong, it would have to be outside of mind, and that is an utter impossibility. All you do is know the truth, and the truth will make you free. World Affairs, the Great Conflict. The Great Conflict is the marginal heading of an important paragraph in Science and Health. In this paragraph, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, The suppositional warfare between truth and error is only the mental conflict between the evidence of the spiritual senses and the testimony of the material senses. Close quote. Today we seem to be at the point of the great conflict in world affairs. You see, the great conflict is a suppositional warfare between truth and error. Truth produces evidence. Materiality, being only a belief, produces testimony, and error cannot stand before truth. Mrs. Eddy continues, quote, "And this warfare between the spirit and flesh will settle all questions through faith in and the understanding of divine love." This is an interesting statement. Quote, "This warfare between the spirit and flesh will settle all questions." Close quote. Let us go to the glossary and see the definition of spirit and flesh. Quote, "Spirit, divine substance, all that is good." Close quote. Quote, "Flesh, a supposition that substance is in matter, an illusion." Close quote. So the warfare is between all that is good and illusion. When we see the kind of warfare this great conflict really is, it is easy to handle the situation. What assurance we have when we learn that this warfare will settle all questions. Thus, we lay aside all illusions and establish the allness of good through faith in and the understanding of divine love. This great conflict is further elucidated in the textbook on page 96, where Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "This material world is even now becoming the arena for conflicting forces. On one side there will be discord and dismay. On the other side there will be science and peace." Close quote. These conflicting forces are material beliefs, and as material beliefs, they are wholly mental. Being mental, they are not things, nor matter external to your thinking, but are within your state of thought as beliefs. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "The breaking up of material beliefs may seem to be famine and pestilence, want and woe, sin, sickness, and death, which assume new phases until their nothingness appears." Close quote. Now, as far as you are concerned, the only place a material belief can break up is in your thinking. You will see the nothingness of one belief after another until they all are destroyed. The destruction of material beliefs appears as correction when you know the truth. The disappearance of these beliefs rests wholly with you. Today, these beliefs come in new garbs and endeavor to fool you. They assume new phases as threats of war, tyranny in government, tyranny of capitalism, tyranny of labor. They come as a welfare state which promises you everything, but we pay for it. They come, too, in the guise of union of church and state, the power of money. And all these come in the guise of good. Evil, through rationalization, claims to be good. Evil always comes disguised as good, otherwise it could not fool you. Quote, "During this final conflict," quote, Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "wicked minds will endeavor to find means by which to accomplish more evil. But those who discern Christian science will hold crime in check." Close quote. Here is a direct challenge to you. You are practitioners. You are true disciples. You can hold crime in check. You have untold power. Remember, just the, quote, acknowledgement of the perfection of the infinite unseen confers a power nothing else can. Close quote. With this acknowledgement, you win. Knowing supersedes belief. Belief melts away in the presence of understanding. Quote, they who discern Christian Science will aid in the ejection of error. They will maintain law and order and cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection. Close quote.